grateful to know that your love towards us is new this day, because your word says that your love is new every morning. It's new every day, and great is your faithfulness. Jesus, we thank you because it's by your power that we gather. It's through the blood of your Son that we have been made a family, one in you. And we pray that you would once again reveal your word, though it might be in mysterious forms to many. You said you have revealed the mysteries of the kingdom to us. So, Lord, out of what we would learn today, give us a word to live by. Teach us by your Spirit. Help us to discern the truths that there might be hidden therein. That our lives, Father, will be the richer for it. That our lives will be complete. Lord, we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I, as your servant, make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer, I pray. As I decrease, Jesus, I pray that you will increase. Grant me your unction this morning to speak as your oracle, that you will be glorified, my Lord. In your precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. Once again, we want to go into the Word of God, continuing from where we stopped last week. We have been looking at the topic of the mysteries of the kingdom, knowing that to us has been revealed the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And the mysteries spoken in parables in the book of Matthew 13 is what we have been looking at in the last few weeks. And today, by the grace of God, we'll be looking at the last part of Matthew 13, the very last mystery that was being talked about there. Matthew 13. From what we have read so far in all the parables of the four soils, or of the seed and the soil, or people call it the parable of the sower, the parable of the mustard seed, the parable of the tares and the wheat, of the leaven, of the hidden treasure, of the pearl of great price, the parable of the dragnet. Does anyone have any question that they might have about these parables that we've been looking into? Any questions? And as the auctioneer will say, going one, going twice. Okay. Looks like there are no questions. All right. So let's open our Bibles to the book of Matthew 13 once again. And last week we looked at the parable of the dragnet from 47 to 51. Today we complete starting from verse 52. And this is a very short thing he said about the householder. Matthew 13 from 52. And once in a while I'll call on a few people from time to time just to read some of the scriptures to help me. Matthew 13, 52. Then said he unto them, therefore, every scribe who is instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a man that is a householder, who brings forth out of his treasure things new and old. Read it again. Then said he, that is Christ, saying unto those who are listening, then said he unto them, therefore, every scribe who is instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a man that is a householder, who brings forth out of his treasure things new and old. And before we go into this particular short scripture, I'd just like us to take a look at a few scriptures, just reminding ourselves from where we started about the kingdom of heaven. I remember telling us that John the Baptist, he heralded the kingdom. When he started his own ministry, he went out preaching, "Behold, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus Christ sent out the 12 to proclaim the kingdom. Jesus Christ taught us to pray in what we call the Lord's Prayer. "Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done." And after that, I can't hear you. After that, you can unmute yourselves.
"Thy kingdom come."
"Thy kingdom come, and your will be done on earth." Thy kingdom come. And that kingdom is what we are seeing. He taught us to seek the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of heaven. All these things shall be added unto you. He taught us that we will be found in the kingdom of heaven. So I'd like a few people to read a few scriptures. And Sister Lolaido, please, will you read Ephesians 1:9? Ephesians 1:9. And we can write it down as we go.
Ephesians 1:9.
Yes.
Okay. Let us, it kind of starts funny in my Bible, in my version.
Okay, if it starts funny, I can read from 8.
Okay. "How rich is God's grace, which he has given to us so fully and freely? God with full wisdom and understanding, let us know his secret purpose. This was what God wanted, and he planned to do it through Christ."
Okay. What version are you reading?
NCV.
Okay. Do you have another version, like ESV?
Yes, I can.
Please.
Okay. "Making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ."
Making known unto us the mysteries of his will, which he set
forth in Christ.
He set it forth in Christ. Colossians 1:26, and will Sister Folake Ehindero read that, please?
Just a minute, Pastor Bumi. Colossians
1:26. Yes.
"Even the mystery which had been hidden, which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints."
Amen. So these same mysteries of the kingdom, they have been hidden from the ages past. And we learned that even the angels, the prophets that prophesied of the kingdom, you know, they willed themselves. They wanted to know, what are these things? What is being talked about? But in our time, has the Lord revealed it to us? 1 Corinthians 4 from 1 to 2. Will Sister Tong please read that? First Corinthians 4, 1 to 2. Sister Tone there. Okay, Sister Tone is not there. Well, Sister Tola Obasoya, you there?
Sorry, Sister Tone stepped away for a second so we can read for her.
Okay, please.
"This then is how you ought to regard us, as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the mysteries God has revealed."
Amen. Go on, sorry, two.
Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful.
Okay, so we have to know that we are servants, you know, all ministers, everyone, are all, we've been entrusted with the mysteries of the kingdom. And whoever has been entrusted with something has to be found faithful. And so it is not only pastors that are entrusted with the mysteries. We all are ministers of the kingdom. And we have been entrusted with the mysteries of the kingdom of God. That is why God is revealing these things unto us. And we've been entrusted with not only teaching them, but we also living by them. And this is how we are found faithful in the kingdom. As we learn, we know, we teach, we live. So let's go back to what we are reading from Matthew 13, 52. Then said Jesus Christ unto them, therefore, and we've all always learnt that whenever we see a therefore, it is there for something. Therefore, concerning all these things he had been teaching before about the kingdom, the dragnet, the treasures, the pearl of great price, everything that had been teaching before, he said, therefore, every scribe. Who is a scribe? Please unmute yourselves. Let's make it interactive today. Who is a scribe? We are scribes?
Yeah.
Sister Elizabeth, are you a scribe?
I think so.
That means that you've taken the Bible to write it down on another book or in a paper. Well, these were scribes of old.
No.
Okay.
Teachers,
exactly.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes. These were teachers of the law.
I was thinking of sheep.
So these were, yes, thank you, Sister Elizabeth. These were teachers of the law. Therefore, every scribe, that is every teacher, who is instructed concerning the kingdom. All right. There's a story about a scribe that I want to refer to, just for us to understand some things about the kingdom. First of all, he said, every scribe who is instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a man that is a householder who brings forth out treasures, new treasures and old treasures. All right, so I want Grandma Bejide to please read for us from Mark 12. And she can read it in the Yoruba Bible, and Brother Peter will read it in the English Bible. Mark 12, 28 to 34. From Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12. Iwe Mark Urikejila. Lati ese. Meji di logbon abi.
Meji di logbon, you're right.
Sister Folake thinks I don't know it. She's shaking her head. I see you. Sorry?
All right, we got it.
Okay.
Akunrin nu awon akowe tomo wa nigba ti o si gbo bi won ti n bi ara won ni ere oro. Ti o si wo ni pe o da won lohun rere o bi pe e wo le ekini ninu gbogbo ofin da lohun bi pe ekini ninu gbogbo ofin ni gbo Israeli oluwa olorun wa oluwa kan ni ki iwo ki o fi gbogbo aya re ati gbogbo okan re ati gbogbo iye re ati gbogbo agbara re fe oluwa olorun re eyi li ofin ekini ekeji si dabi re fe omo ni keji re bi ara re ko si ofin mi le mam ti o to bi ju won yi lo akwa we na si bi fun pe oluko ni o dara otito le o so pe olorun kan ni nbe ko si si omiran bi ko se ohun ati ki a fi gbogbo aya ati gbogbo oye ati gbogbo okan ati gbogbo agbara fe ati ki a fe omo ni keji eni bi ara eni oju gbogbo ebo sisun ati ebolo nigba ti Jesu ri pe o fi oye dahun o fi fun pe iwo ko jina si ijoba olorun lehin eyi ni kosi enikan ti o je bi lere ohun kan mo
ele drop e sheba bro Peter read the same thing
okay then one of the scribes came and having heard them reasoning together perceiving that he had answered them well asked him which is the first commandment of all Jesus answered him The first of all commandment is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So the scribe said to him, Well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth, for there is one God and there is no other but he. And to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all the whole burnt offering and sacrifices. Now, when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, You are not far from the kingdom of God. But after that one, no one dared question him.
Thank you very much. So here we see the scribe asking Jesus. I'm sure that this was a scribe who was seeking from something deeper. Now, we know that these scribes, all that they knew and all that they taught was from the law and the commandments, from the precepts of the Torah. This was what all the scribes knew, and that was what they taught. And from the precepts of the Torah, that is where in Exodus chapter 20, we get the commandments. And our sister Buki, in Exodus chapter 20, what is the first commandment?
I think it's that you have no other gods but me.
Sorry?
That you have no other gods before me.
Thank you. Thou shalt have no other gods but me.
Before me. Yeah.
You shall have no other gods before me. But here in Mark 12, what did Jesus say was the first law? For first commandment, not first law.
To love the Lord with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and strength.
Exactly. Now, we will say, okay, was Jesus Christ quoting from the first, from the commandments, from the Torah? But something makes us to know what Jesus Christ was teaching. Sister Buki, read from Jeremiah 31, 31 to 32, please.
Sorry, Jeremiah 31, what?
31 to 32.
Okay. The day is coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah. This covenant will not be like the one I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt. They broke that covenant, though I love them as a husband loves his wife, says the Lord.
So Jesus Christ is telling them, here God is telling the people of Israel that there will be a day that will come where he will make a new covenant with Israel. And it will not be like the old covenants that they had trouble keeping. The old covenants that they were always breaking. Now, this scribe was asking Jesus about the covenant. And what he wanted to hear was, this is what was quoted in Exodus 20 would have been the answer. Maybe he was going to probe him further about something. But here, Jesus Christ was fulfilling what was written in Jeremiah. Behold, I will make a new covenant. The old covenant, the old commandments that we have always known from Exodus is that those 10 commandments. Now Jesus Christ was giving them a new commandment. You should love the Lord with all your hearts. And then he went further to say, and the second commandment is like unto this one. Mark 12:30. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then he said, there is no other commandment greater than this. These two commandments encompasses all of the commandments of Exodus. Now, for this particular scribe, Jesus said something at the very end. He said that you are not far from the kingdom in wisdom. He wasn't far from the kingdom. Because he knew something. Now, this scribe said, I'll read from verse 32. And the scribe said to him, well, master, you have said the truth, for there is one God, and there is no other but he. And to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offering and sacrifices. I don't think I've had any scribe in the Bible, you know, say something that deep. Maybe Nicodemus. No other teacher of the law, no other Pharisee or Sadducee came to Jesus speaking at that depth. This man knew something. He must have been seeking and searching for something. But Jesus Christ still said that he wasn't far. Jesus Christ didn't say that he was already in the kingdom. He said he wasn't far from the kingdom. Because these were the teachings of the kingdom. What this man failed to know, what makes you really in the kingdom, is where you see Christ as the king and you accept by faith his lordship in your life. Then you will be in the kingdom. So he wasn't far from the kingdom in that he knew some of the mysteries of the kingdom. But this knowledge was still from the old covenant. He had some treasures old. Jesus Christ had now been teaching about some treasures new. So any householder, any Pharisee, teacher of the law, or any scribe that could see the mysteries of the kingdom in the Old Testament, which pointed to Jesus, and the mysteries of the kingdom which Jesus was teaching, and understanding of those mysteries in the New Testament, will be old treasures and new treasures being brought forth. And remember, these new treasures are what we have been learning for the last few weeks. What is the kingdom of heaven about? It starts with what predicates a kingdom is a king. You cannot have a kingdom without having a reigning king. That is what makes it a kingdom. Jesus Christ, in the sphere of this authority, is the king of his own kingdom. And the kingdom of this kingdom of heaven is right with us. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come where? Thy kingdom come on earth. Thy kingdom come where every man will bow to the knee, on their knees, to Jesus as the king. Now, in the day in which we live, not everyone has yet bowed to Christ as their king. But a day is still coming where of every nation, every tribe, every tongue, every people, they will bow to Jesus and he will be Lord of lords and King of all kings. For a moment, we're not there yet. For a moment, everybody is still doing what pleases them. Kingdoms, kings, are still doing what pleases them. But a day is coming where the fulfillment of that kingdom will be realized. And so what Jesus Christ was teaching here about the householder was those who have understanding from the old, they are able to bring out the mysteries of the kingdom. And the Old Testament does point to the mysteries of the kingdom because Jesus Christ quoted from the Torah. He upheld the Torah. He said he has come to fulfill the Torah. All the laws, all the commandments, and he did fulfill everything. What no man was able to fulfill in its entirety, Jesus did it. And so our being a part of the kingdom now, which is the new that we have, is not the prerogative is not that we will fulfill the dictates of the Torah, every law that has been written, every commandment, but vicariously by believing in Christ, his own fulfillment is now ours. What he has done is now ours by faith, not by works. So we are not fulfilling, we're not in the kingdom because we don't eat pork. We're not in the kingdom because we don't wear cotton and linen together. Every dictate of the law, Christ has fulfilled it. And by faith, we accept his own fulfillment as ours. Does that mean now that we're not expected to do anything according to the law? No, it doesn't mean that. That is why, you know, a few weeks ago we said that now that we are no under the law, are we now lawless people? No, we are not lawless people because as we read in Jeremiah, Jesus Christ has now given us a new commandment. That new covenant, there is a commandment that comes with it. And that commandment even covers that of the Old Testament, that of the Torah, that of the Exodus that we talked about. So if you love your God, you will not take his name in vain. You will not have any God before him. If you love your neighbor as yourself, you will not covet your neighbor's things. You will not steal from your neighbor. You will not bear false witness against your neighbor. The law, and we read it, you know, some of the religious leaders that came to Christ, we read of one rich young ruler that came, that said, I've kept all this since I was youth. Some kept it by, you know how some people will keep things by tulasi, by force of discipline of their bodies, of their minds. There's one thing to keep a law by force. There's another thing to keep a law in your heart. You can keep a law of not committing adultery by saying, I will not go to any woman that is not my wife, but is your heart clean? And that was the larger part of the law that was being neglected, which Jesus taught in the Beatitudes. People were keeping the law according to what was written on paper, black and white, but their hearts were not clean. So in this kingdom in which we have come to, the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ are beyond. That is why we've only got two. If 10 people couldn't keep it, do you think they'll keep two? No, because it's more than a matter of paper or stone at that time. It is more of a matter of keeping it according to love. You keep the law of God because you love him, not because you are forced to. And that is the beauty of this kingdom in which we have been brought into. We keep God's commandments not by force because God has said, but by love because he has first loved us. And the way we love him now is by keeping his commandments. What he has said, we do. That is the beauty and the mystery of this kingdom of heaven in which we have now been made kings and priests of his kingdom. So, let's go on. Matthew 13. Then said he unto them, therefore, every scribe or every teacher of the law who is instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven, every teacher of the law who is instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven, that teacher of the law who has already been learning of the Torah, learning of the old, is now being instructed in the new. Learning every concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a man that is a householder who brings forth out of his treasure things new and things old. Verse 53. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed from there. And when he was coming to his own country, where is the country of Jesus? Does anybody remember? That place.
I think it's Israel. Isn't it Israel?
Nazareth.
Yes.
Nazareth.
Remember what Nathanael said? Does any good thing come out
it
of where?
Come out of Nazareth.
Nazareth. Can any good thing come out of there? So Jesus departed from there and from where he had been preaching and teaching. And that was in the area of Capernaum, and came unto Nazareth, which is by the Sea of Galilee. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue in Nazareth, insomuch that they were astonished and said, from where has this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not this Joseph's son? Is not his mother Mary called? Is not his mother called Mary? Okay, and before we go forth, let me give us a quiz. So, according to the Bible, at least how many children did Mary have? At least how many? Anybody knows?
Three. At least five.
At least five? At least three? At least how many?
Four.
At least four? Sorry, who said seven?
Seven.
Who said seven?
Seven.
Seven is the correct answer, according to what the Bible has told us. So, okay, verse 55. After saying, is this not Mary's son? And his brethren, we know his brothers, James, 1, Joseph, 2, Simeon, 3, Judas, 4. At least those are four brothers. And then he says, verse 56, and his sisters.
Yeah.
So if we say sisters, at least there are two. That's six.
Mary and Martha.
And the firstborn, Jesus, at least seven children. Just a small You can now ask somebody who doesn't know so that you'll look as if you know the Bible. Mm-hmm. And his sisters, are they not all with us? From where then has this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his own country, and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Mm-hmm. It's very easy for people we know, people we have worked with for so long, you know. You can imagine Brother Peter opening the eyes of the blind. I would say, Brother Peter, I know him. You know, they said familiarity at times breeds contempt. When we see God doing mighty works, you know, in vessels we do not think a lot of, because, you know, we've been sitting together, we've ate amala together, we've ate begiri together. And then, you know, we have to be careful not to make this same mistake, because God can choose any vessel. Sometimes when we see our children, when we see young ones beginning to speak things that we're like, these are not ordinary words. We should not look at them as, oh, it's mere children, you know, they're just, go and sit down. God can choose any vessel, old or young, male, female, black, white, no matter what, to bring forth mysteries, to do things of power that might astound us. But we should never despise the vessel that God uses, because we might be missing out on something God has for us in despising the vessel that God uses. This happens a lot in prophecy. If God has a word for you, and you're like, I know this person, you know, what can this person tell me? It could be a word of rebuke. It could be a word of correction. It could be a word of encouragement. It could be a word from your spouse. Don't, because you have been so familiar with that person, think that God can never use such a person. Don't, because, you pray more than your spouse, or you pray more than your child, think that, what can I do from this person? God can use any vessel. And this is the result of what leads to unbelief. Sometimes. Look at what that last part said. Jesus did not do many miracles there because they are of their unbelief. They looked at it. You know, this is Mary's son. This is Joseph's son. We knew the history. They were not married when Mary was pregnant. It was a child out of wedlock. It's been rumored in the neighborhood. Joseph might not be the father. We don't know the real father. And because of all that, they looked at Jesus like, you know, what can we receive from him? And Jesus could not do many miracles there because of
their unbelief.
Yes.
Because of their unbelief, and because he was an outsider to them. Yes. And he was not well grounded, I would say, as the other people were. And he was less, they looked at him, I think, as less than they were. And they could not believe, here's a carpenter boy that had this anointing on his life that they could not understand. They could not understand.
Exactly. But he was way more grounded than any of them.
Yes.
Yeah. And another aspect I want to leave us with, you know, which also is in line with the unbelief we're talking about, is when God is doing something that is not in line with what we think the Bible is talking about, or the interpretations that we have had over the years. The Jews, especially the teachers of the law, they had been learning about a Messiah all their lives, the Messiah that will come. And their own understanding of what the Messiah will come to do was to take authority, to remove them from all their oppressors. Their oppressors at that time were the Romans. And if we still read in Acts of Apostles, before Jesus Christ had ascended into heaven, one of his disciples asking him, at which time are you going to restore Israel back? And Jesus Christ told them that, you don't worry about that. What they were expecting was a Messiah that will ride in to Israel to becoming their king on a chariot, or at least on a horse, not on a donkey. A person who will come blazing with the glory that they always saw the Romans. When the Romans had conquered, they would come into this, into town, in a parade of glory with all their conquests behind them, with the captors and the generals ahead of them, with pomp and pageantry all around. That was what they were expecting. But here was a carpenter's son riding in on a donkey. You know, I don't want to make it old, because it always amazes me that a little Uruaga boy, God will make an engineer and a minister of the gospel. You know, that is the equivalent. But out of little things, Jesus rose up to be a king, not after the expectation of what they expected the Messiah to be. He ruled and reigned over a kingdom, not after their expectation of what earthly kingdoms were like. He died the death of a commoner, not after the expectations of what they thought a king, the way a king will die. And this can breed unbelief in many ways. If we do not take God according to who God is, that he's sovereign, he can do as he pleases, many times we will be discouraged into unbelief when God is not working or doing things according to how we want him to do it, according to how we think, you know, I have hoped for this, I have asked for this, God will do it this way, God will do it that way. We should let God be God. We should take him at his word, but we should allow for his sovereignty at all times. Just as Job said, the expectation of his wife was that, why should that happen to a righteous man? But Job declared, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Many times people come to that place where their expectations are dashed because what they believed of God is not what they are seeing. What they thought or had been taught is not what they are seeing. Let us not allow that in our lives, but at each point, to always go back to seek him. God, what I am seeing, is that what you are doing? And if you trust your Father enough, he will reveal to you. He will reveal to you. Abraham, he thought that God will come in another way. But God still came, and he believed at the very end, God, if whatever you say, if you say that in this age when I'm old and I'm dead and my wife's womb, how can it bear a child? If you say next year, it will be, oh, I believe you. So be it. That is how we take God. The mysteries of the kingdom of God are very, very different. Very different from the mysteries of the kingdom of the world. And I'll read what I, you know, something I read to us a few weeks back. And I'll close here. They expected a display of power, but Jesus taught them to empower the weak and disabled members of society. The kingdom of heaven belongs to the poor, the distressed, and the suffering, not to the rich, the powerful, and the self-sufficient. And I always put a mark there so we understand. I'm not saying no rich man will enter the kingdom of heaven. I'm talking about those who trust in their riches, in their power, and their self-sufficiency. They expected a parade of status, but this king began his human life in the squalor of a stable. As I said today, he rode into his own kingdom on the back of a donkey. They expected royal respectability, but he spent his time with those the society regarded as inferior, lepers, foreigners, women. He did not wave a royal banner, but left this world he created carrying a mark of ignominy, a cross. They expected him to throw out the Roman occupational forces, but he refused to be embroiled in politics. He taught that many will come from east, west, north, south, and will take their places at the feast in his kingdom. Instead of keeping foreigners out, he invited them to come in. We have been made kings and priests in that kingdom. And may our King ever be glorified. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you once again for teaching us about your kingdom. This kingdom in which you have brought us into by faith. This kingdom in which you have said that we will rule and reign with you, because you have made us kings and priests in your kingdom. Though every knee is not yet bowed to you as the king, though every tongue does not confess you as king over all, we pray that we will hail you, we will teach men of you, we will be light within the world, within this field that you so talked about. We will be salt within the earth. Jesus, help us as we bring more, or help us to bring more into your kingdom. Help us to be fishers of men. Help us to be people who make disciples of all nations. It's your desire that none should perish, but everyone come to the knowledge of Christ as the risen Lord and Savior. Lord, fulfill your desire through us, we pray. And please be king over our lives. Lord Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen.